And this is really Martha's story. She thought of it, and you don't get her up here too often. So I'm going to let you lead off.
Yeah, I really can't believe I'm here up here. But this kind of goes along with our looking back and remembering and being thankful for the things God has done. And someone mentioned today, I think it was in our Sabbath school, remember how God has led us over the years. God has been faithful to us, blessed us, answered our prayers, and we've had some prayers answered not anywhere near the way we wanted them to be answered, but he's in charge. And even answered prayers before we even asked, before we even knew what we needed, he did, and he provided. And our story kind of begins when we were looking for a new car. And we have different recollections. We're talking 25 years ago. So, you know, the memory again, too. But I never did care what... I never really cared anything about cars. But I really thought Ford Explorers were just way cool. And it would be fun to have one. I could go wherever I wanted and be safe and...
Yeah, let me add to that. Like, she has never really wanted a car, and a Ford Explorer back then was like buying a Mercedes for us. It was something that was really beyond our means, but it was something she really wanted.
And
she
the gas really... mileage wasn't that great, which that's what he likes, you know.
But this is what she really thought was cool, and... And as we go along, well, you know, that was really a big purchase for us. And there's our new Ford Explorer.
And isn't it cool? It is.
And that was our Cadillac. And that was, you know, material things seemed important then. But as we go along with our story, you'll realize how we did. Material things nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Okay, you could go into... Okay. Well, you can go into...
Okay, 1994-1995. Our middle son, big, strong, athletic, everything going for him, we thought.
But
a lot of difficult
that.
Things happened in his life.
Just the picture, Dave. We don't want this yet.
Yeah, we don't want that yet.
No, go back. Mm-hmm. Just the background. No, that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll tell you when the next one comes.
Oh, all right.
He went into the deepest, darkest depression that we can think of. And we didn't understand. You know, here's a kid we thought he had everything. I'd have loved to be like, you know, he was big and strong, intelligent, good looking, everything I wasn't. And and we didn't really understand. But he was in a hole that I can't even explain. Where his life, he was ready to take it. And we were so scared, we didn't know what to do. He called my older brother, his older brother, who's a doctor, and explained what was going on. I'll have to say this for him. He knew something was wrong. This is not normal. Why am I in a position that I want to end my life even? And so he explained this to my older son. And he got back to Martha and I and explained, Nathan's in clinical depression. You have to get him some help.
Well, Nate actually, after Matt's advice, checked himself into a clinic there in Portland. So off we go in our Explorer, driving up to Portland and trying to give him some support. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. And this was Mother's Day, which not usually what you typically like to spend your Mother's Day. And he actually said, if I could cut off my arm or my leg and make this go away, I would do it. You know, it was that bad. Fortunately, there was some help. He did have a good counselor. Sometimes you need medication to go over stuff like that. Sometimes you just can't pray it away. You need a little bit of help. And anyway, they kind of turned him over to us. They realized he wasn't a danger to himself or anybody else. And we just kept praying. There was a lot of things we didn't understand. Depression wasn't in our family. Kind of wasn't even in our vocabulary. So I prayed.
Let me go ahead. It's New Year's, 1995. And we're desperately praying, Lord, let something good happen to our son. All the things that led to his depression, it just seems like negative, negative, negative. Things were just going downhill. And I won't explain all those things. But it was just turning him down, turning him down, turning him down. And we're praying, Lord, let something good happen.
Anything. Something good.
Something good.
Positive.
And what happened? Go ahead.
It was about Valentine's Day, another holiday. And he calls, we answer the phone, and he goes, Mom, I have cancer. And that wasn't what we prayed for. You know, we prayed for something good to happen, and he gets cancer. He had prior to this, he had just a small cyst on the outside of his knee, maybe, I don't know, size of a grape. That was just kind of annoying. And he had a couple lipomas removed, just fatty tissues that 99.9% just benign, and had that cyst removed.
So he went to the doctor and he had that little cyst removed. And he had a premonition about that. It was just a little thing on his leg. And he's going, I got to get rid of that. I got to get rid of that. And we thought nothing of it. Oh, it's just a lipoma. So the worst thing that you can do, what it turned out to be, what was sent to the lab.
Well, the doctor actually did it in his office, which probably wasn't a good idea.
Well, the worst thing that could happen to this particular type of liposarcoma is what it was remove it, because it metastasizes, and that removal increases the metastasizing of that cancer. So his whole leg was on attack.
Compromised. And that's kind of when we got the call that they finally got the results back from the lab that it was removed, we just got the note that he had cancer. We drive again to Portland, and that's when he's in OHSU for insurance, or for the surgery. And as I was saying, sometimes your prayers are answered before you even know what's going to happen. Well, there just happened to be an expert doctor on staff that had dealt with some of these radical surgeries and saving tendons and nerves and whatnot. And, okay, well, my sister-in-law and I, and actually Nate's counselor, we were there in the waiting room. He, if you've noticed, he gets a little nervous. It's hard for him to sit. So tell him what you're doing.
So I'm pacing around during the surgery, and the nurse comes out to the waiting room and says, "We lost him." I just about collapsed. But she had a certain look on her face, and I said, "What do you mean you lost him?" She said, "Oh, we just don't know where he's at."
They couldn't find him.
It was after surgery, they rolled him away.
He's a big guy. I don't know how they lost him, but
yeah, at his size, he's hard to lose. But I want to explain in our trip.
Yeah, but. Let me do this.
Want to do this? Okay.
While he's pacing around, he goes out, and there's a big parking structure there at OHSU. And he's walking around and comes back to tell me,
"Our car has been wrecked. It was sitting in the structure, and somebody turned the corner and just wiped out the back end of it and crushed it all in. But you know what? We'll go, okay." That wasn't very important at the time, even though that was our dream car.
Now you can show the picture of his leg, Don. This is after surgery.
Let me explain what this has done. It had metastasized so far that they had to take so much tissue out around the knee there that you see, that they had to fill it in with some kind of tissue. And so they cut a muscle out of his calf, which is the long line that you see down to the bottom, that was cut and actually swung back up and thrown in that space that you see by his knee. And up on his thigh, that's where they took the skin graft off to cover that muscle that they threw up there to fill that gap. So it was very, very radical surgery. And I hope everybody heard me. I wasn't... The first time I went in after the surgery, and the doctor was so proud of what he did, he thought everything went so well. And I saw the wound. And it was on my son. And I got dizzy, and I fell against the wall and sat down and almost threw up. This is actually after quite a bit of healing. I saw it in the raw. And it was hard to take. But somehow they had saved his leg. Normally, they would have taken his leg off.
30 years ago, they told us that would have been what would have happened. And remember what Nate said when he was in that depression? If I could cut off an arm or a leg, I would do it if it would make me feel better.
Yeah, how do you get rid of depression? should we go ahead? On our way home.
Yeah.
He had to stay in the hospital for a while. So on our way back home from Portland, our precious explorer again, we're around Oak Ridge, and a semi-truck pulls off a muddy road in front of us, and in his duels had locked a rock about this big. And as he picked up speed, that boulder flipped out of his duels and came right at, I remember I ducked. I thought, that thing
too.
Is coming through the windshield. And it hit us, and I did duck, and I was they really make that glass because it actually bounced. It shattered the windshield, but that rock actually bounced.
It held together.
And held together. And, of course, we limped on home. later on, our, you know, but we're not caring about this.
It's just a car.
Big purchase of our life. Later on, she even came, tore off the door as she came out of the garage with that car.
Yeah. But Nate, he was home for about 6 weeks to heal. He couldn't walk or bend that knee because it would, you know, that skin graft was so crucial, you know, that heal. So we were absolutely overwhelmed. Our little community down there in Gilchrist and Crescent, and of course the school, we were part of the school. They just...
And our church.
We didn't have a church here in Lapine, but it was down in Gilchrist. And people from Christmas Valley used to drive all the way down. You remember that, Barbara? Yeah. We were just overwhelmed, you know, with support. And one of the scriptures that just really made an impression on me was the one about bearing one another's burdens. Because as we could share that burden with other people, we could feel them praying. And I realized ever since, if someone asked me to pray for them, I want to do it. You know, I want to help hold them up. That was just really important. So where are we now?
Okay.
We're going to California. Oh, tell them about Donnie.
Yeah. With all that support, but 6 weeks, he was completely...
On the couch.
Didn't move. I run home at lunchtime and made him lunch once in a while. Martha did that. And he really couldn't move, and he was in a lot of pain. And, and here's the magic. We're praying for something good to happen to Nate. And what happened was cancer. But you know what happened? The cancer cured his depression. Because all of a sudden he had started fighting for his life. And that changed his mind completely. And one of his good friends, Donnie Hakala, who was a teammate with, what was the college?
Linfield
College, the basketball teammate, came and visited just about every day. And Nate, you know, he was, oh, look at the deformity of my leg and da-da-da-da. And Donnie goes, Nate, that's your trophy. You whipped cancer. That's your trophy. And that kind of changed his idea about what he was going through at the time. You know, after 6 weeks of laying on that couch, I have to brag about this kid a little bit. You'd think he'd be pretty atrophied. Well, he's at the end of that, we started going down to the weight room at the high school. His first day, and he'll get back in shape. His first day in there, he could bench press near 300 pounds after laying for 6 weeks. Unbelievable. And he kept working out and getting himself back in shape. After all that, we were very thankful. God sent cancer. God works in mysterious ways.
Yes.
Mysterious ways.
And that was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They say if this type of cancer comes back, it will come back quickly in the first couple years. And he's actually run marathons and stuff. So,
yeah, he ran a marathon just last year. And he played community basketball and stuff like that on that leg. And we're so thankful for that. And the depression, completely gone. He went ahead and furthered his education, and now he's a principal at a high school in Vernonia, Oregon. And he loves his job, except that COVID has made it very difficult. Going on with our story, with our explorer. Go ahead.
You can put the next one on. There you go. That's Charity, our little granddaughter. And she was a year old. And they were having a birthday party for her. This was at Thanksgiving, September 27th or November 27th. And we always tried to avoid traveling over the Thanksgiving vacation, which a lot of you know the traffic is worse than anything. But look at how cute she is. It was her birthday. We wanted to go down and help them celebrate. Well, and this might be a little fuzzy to both of us, but on the way home, we drove all night. In retrospect, probably not the best idea. I was driving. He was asleep in the back seat with no seatbelt. And we're up around Chiloquin, and everything's good. And I know people say you always have to watch out for the other guy. Well, I was the other guy. Car spun out, hit a tree. That stopped us.
Let me explain that a little bit. From the story I heard, of course, I was in the back seat asleep, no seatbelt.
You don't remember anything, so.
Yeah, well, this is from what you told me later on.
Okay.
She hit some black ice, and the car started veering, and it was veering into a semi, head-on with the semi. And she swung it the other way, and the rear end spun around, and it went off the road. And I'll explain where that's at. You know, outside of Chiloquin, the rise on Highway 97, that steep rise, you know, not too far past the old dinosaur, that's where she went off the embankment. And down the hill and into a tree.
And all of a sudden, there were angels absolutely everywhere to help us out. EMT, there were loggers and chainsaws because part of the tree broke off and fell on top of my Explorer. And I knew immediately that I was okay because the seatbelt, it works. But I thought, are you okay? Are you okay? And I didn't hear anything. And, of course, people coming to help. And then an ambulance took us on a bumpy ride back to Klamath Falls. And his head was really banged up. I was banged up from the seatbelt and my back. But the x-rays were okay. We had to call some more angel friends that lived here in Crescent to drive down to Klamath Falls to pick us up and take us back because I had school the next day, which got another angel substitute to help with that. And that kind of put things into perspective a little bit for...
You have the next picture?
Oh, okay, next picture. There we are. That's the front end of the Explorer. I forgot about that. And next one, I think, is the back end. Oh. Yeah. My Explorer was just a tin can, all crumpled up, but it didn't really matter. You know, Nate was good. We could buy a new car.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a person.
But we know that sometimes it doesn't always happen that way, right, Barbara?
Right.
Just a couple months before this happened, our good friend and neighbor one of our best friends, Oregon State policeman, was with a young trooper, was killed on the cutoff road to highway, over to Highway 58, right there at the Cascade Lakes Highway turnoff. And his brother, the next year, was killed on the cutoff road just south of the ski area. And Barbara's son, the next year. That was some rough times for us, wasn't it, Barbara, and for our church?
Yes.
But God blessed. And there's always the question, why me and not them, or why them and not me? And we'll find that all out someday.
Yes.
But
God is good.
God is good.
Yes.
We got another picture. Oh, yeah. Look at him. That's pretty bad, huh?
Is that Jane?
Yeah.
I want to say something about that.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. My younger brother was twice my size, and people thought we didn't look anything alike. But in this picture, with my head swollen, I look just like my brother. I guess my brother was just me on steroids, you know.
And it actually got worse than that, because he'd been on blood thinner, and his face got all black and blue. And but anyway, here we are.
Yeah, you that's
know,
my brother.
To tell that story. And
is there another one?
No. Well, yeah, just a minute. But I was just going to say, when all this was happening with the cancer, and I just went through the Bible and I copied down every verse I could find about healing and trusting and how faithful God is. And I even, the scripture I read this morning about Psalm 53, I went through that and just changed every pronoun in there, or every reference, to put our son Nate's name in there. And we had, you know, people praying everywhere, which was really a blessing. So now the next one should... Oh, we got a new Explorer. Yeah. We liked it so much. I think you still had a dent in your head at the time, but your hat's covering it. But see, it's just a thing, just something, just a car.
Yeah, let me say one thing. You've all been through hard times. And you can go through hard times with God, or you can go through hard times with God. And if you go through hard times with God, all things will work together for good for those that love the Lord. So all these things that... that were hard, that we went through, all of them, God will work them out. And I truly believe we'll all be together. We'll be together again. I know nobody else here knew Barbara's son, Alan. What a beautiful young man. Beautiful young man.
Talented, he could sing.
Oh, he sang at my Martha and Alan sang at my brother's memorial at Gilchrist High School. My brother was so loved at that high school that they shut it down for a couple of days. Kids couldn't.
And the gym was packed.
And the gym was packed that day. That I want Martha to know, she was singing there with Alan, and people afterwards says, wow, where did you find them? I said, oh, they're members of my church. And they said, you get to hear that every week? Wow. Unbelievable. But a year after that, we lost Alan. But we're going to see him again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What a wonderful young man. And by the way, Alan and my son Nate that we're talking about met at the camp meeting in Portland, or Gladstone, mm-hmm. and they hit it off right away. Mm-hmm. They were just buddies. And I think that says something about both of their personalities. They were just God-loving kids. The hard times will come. And if we look at the world today, it's not going to get easier. But if we go through it with the Lord, mm-hmm. He'll carry us. He'll carry us.
And just to kind of introduce our closing hymn, the Standing on the Promises of God, page 518, that's what I did. I had a list of all those promises.
We got one more
picture. Oh, okay. I forgot.
Oh!
Okay, there we are. On the right is our son, Nate. And
yeah, the big guy on the side.
And granddaughter, Charity. She's the one we went to the birthday party for. She'll be graduating from medical school in May. And that's our son, Matt, and son, Jordan. And Josh is on the left, and you remember you prayed for Josh because he was diagnosed with a stage 4 melanoma just in February. So there's always
there's a miracle in itself. He had about 7 lymph nodes removed, stage 4 melanoma.
Yep.
Normally, they give you about 4 to 5 years to live. He's cancer-free.
Amen.
And we prayed for that here in our little church.
You notice the hat. He's got to wear that all the time. Keep the sun off his face.
Yeah. So. And I might mention this picture. They're at the Charger game. Our nephew is the quarterback for the Chargers, and just about every home game is a family reunion, a Herbert Underwood family reunion at that game. So they're trying to get me to go down there, but I don't like crowds. I just soon watch it on television. But they'll drag me up there sometime. I know they will.
But
anyway.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. And just to say something about the song, like all those things I printed out and claimed, Standing on the Promises of God. I heard recently that when we claim the promises of God, we're standing on holy ground, and that makes it even extra special. So that's our
amen.
Amen.
That we're going to sing. No.
You and me?
No.
Martha.
No. No.
That wasn't in the deal.
No, we got.
Let us stay with you through thick and thin. Lord, we just thank you for the promises of the future, that you wipe away every tear. That all the things that have ground us here on this planet will be all made new. Those people that we love will be with us again. Lord, we thank you that you care about us. That even now in this world, your hand is with us. You have come to make our burden light. Lord, just walk with us. carry us, Lord, through the hard times. And may we just stay with you. Stay with you in all situations. Lord, every time the Satan throws a dart, may it just make us stronger. May it turn us to you even more. For we know what you have promised. And we can see what you've done for us in the past. And so we know those promises of the future are also good. Lord, be with us. Thank you for who you are and what you are. We thank you for existence itself and an intelligence to know that, to know God, the Almighty One. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good Sunday.